Today's scripture comes from Acts 10, 1 through 17, and 34, 35. In Caesarea, there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion of the Italian cohort, as it was called. He was a devout man who feared God with all his household. He gave alms generously to the people and prayed constantly to God. One afternoon at about 3 o'clock, he had a vision in which he clearly saw an angel of God coming in and saying to him, "Cornelius." He stared at him in terror and said, "What is it, Lord?" He answered, "Your prayers and your alms have ascended as a memorial before God. Now send men to Joppa for a certain Simon who is called Peter. He is lodging with Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside." When the angel who spoke to him had left, he called two of his slaves and a devout soldier from the ranks of those who served him, and after telling them everything, he sent them to Joppa. About noon the next day, as they were on their journey and approaching the city, Peter went up on the roof to pray. He became hungry and wanted something to eat, and while it was being prepared, he fell into a trance. He saw the heaven opened and something like a large sheet coming down, being lowered to the ground by its four corners. In it were all kinds of four-footed creatures and reptiles and birds of the air. Then he heard a voice saying, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter said, "By no means, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is profane or unclean." The voice said to him again a second time, "What God has made clean, you must not call profane." This happened 3 times, and then the thing was suddenly taken up to heaven. Now, while Peter was greatly puzzled about what to make of the vision that he had seen, suddenly the men sent by Cornelius appeared. They were asking for Simon's house and were standing by the gate. Then Peter began to speak to them. "I truly understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him."
I have a dear friend whom I have not seen in years. We've actually only spent maybe 2 weeks together in all of our friendship. Her name is Rachel. The camp meeting where Brian used to preach every summer is in Fort Davis, Texas. It's called Bloys Camp Meeting. There are always 4 ministers involved in the preaching and teaching during the week, a Methodist, Baptist, Presbyterian, and Disciples of Christ. The Baptist minister years ago, whom we both loved the best out of all the Baptist ministers, was Rachel's dad. His name was Jim. Rachel, that's how I met her, was at the camp meeting. After graduating from college, Rachel served for a time teaching school in the Czech Republic, and then she believed that God was calling her to ordain ministry. She came home to the United States, went to seminary, got ordained, and then went to Slovakia to serve as a missionary. Rachel has been in Slovakia since January of 2000 and has since gotten married and had a child. Slovakia is her home now. When she first went to Slovakia, she would send me regular emails to keep me updated and informed of what she was doing. She had what I considered to be an unusual ministry. Rachel had a vision to take the gospel to the other. Rachel had a vision to be a missionary to the gypsies in Slovakia. You heard me right, to the gypsies. She became intrigued with the gypsies when she lived in the Czech Republic and worked and worked and worked to get a mission funded for taking the gospel to the gypsies. Now, by the standards of everyone else in Eastern Europe, the gypsies are considered unclean. They are not the creme de la creme of society. They are a problem all over Eastern Europe, even in Bosnia. On my second trip to Bosnia, one of the members of our group had her pocket picked by gypsies. Most people would just as soon have the gypsies go away, except for Rachel, who was bound and determined that they were going to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. There were problems involved, though. I will never forget one email I received from Rachel. She needed to share about this vision of sharing the gospel to gypsies. She wanted to share her thoughts of discouragement and questions of why she was in Slovakia. She informed me that she was making some progress, She was having daily contact by seeing them in town or seeing them out her window. They wouldn't let her talk to them. She watched them dig through the garbage bins and take out the treasures that they would find either to keep or to eat. She saw them teaching their children to beg in the streets or steal from the shops. She acknowledged that many of them are dirty or unkept, and often they are drunk. Even if there is any level of cleanliness, the gypsies are still looked upon with suspicion. What spurred the email and the venting was a bus ride. Rachel was on a bus, and a group of young gypsy kids got on. The bus driver started yelling at them immediately, "Get off my bus, you gypsies! Get off!" Rachel believes that the kids probably were trying to get a free ride. None of them stamped a ticket or tried to show that they even had a bus pass. However, had they not been gypsies, Rachel said the driver would have more than likely not been suspicious of them and certainly would not have yelled as he did. In fact, the bus drivers there were known for allowing kids to ride for free if they didn't have enough money on them. Several days later, Rachel was in one of the small neighborhood stores. Two gypsy women came in and took a basket to do some shopping. The women that were waiting on Rachel began yelling at the two gypsy women and telling them to get out of her store. She almost physically threw them out. The gypsies just aren't very well received by the rest of the community. They are truly looked upon as unclean people with whom you sure wouldn't share a meal, much less let them on your bus or in your store or in your home. And there is Rachel, trying her hardest to figure out how to be community with the unclean. How to be community with the unclean when it appears no one else wants to. She wrote in the email, "Why did God give me this vision?" I thought about Rachel's email when I read about Peter and his vision from God that leads to the conversion of Cornelius. By the standards of Peter and the others of the believing community in Acts, Cornelius is as unclean as a gypsy. He isn't as undesirable like gypsies as Slovakia, but Cornelius is not Jewish, and he is a Roman centurion. He is a Gentile, and well, we know that only Jews at that time were allowed to be true believers, the real followers of Christ. Even though Cornelius is a Gentile, he fears God and prays to God constantly. One afternoon in Caesarea, he has a vision, and an angel of God comes to him, says his name, tells him to send some men to Joppa to see Simon, who is called Peter. When the angel leaves, Cornelius does exactly what the angel said to do. The next day around noon in Joppa, Peter has a vision while he's sitting up on the roof of his house. This is the vision that has the sheet with all the animals on it, and God telling Peter to get up, kill, and eat. Now, this is a heretical vision. This is an insane vision. The animals on the sheet are all of the animals that the people of God, the people of Israel, God's chosen, are not supposed to eat. Birds of the air? Birds of prey? Hoofed animals? Reptiles? Doesn't matter that it tastes like chicken. God said, don't eat it, way back in Leviticus. And if it's in Leviticus, we don't eat it. Every animal mentioned is considered profane and unclean by God's people. Thank goodness Peter refused. What would happen to society if we started eating these unclean animals? God answers Peter with something about what God has made clean. Don't you dare call it unclean. This happens three times with the sheet and the animals and Peter being told to get up, kill, and eat. Needless to say, Peter is quite confused by this vision. And in the midst of his confusion, the men sent by Cornelius appear. Peter's still sitting up on his roof trying to figure out why in the world God would tell him to eat things that are unclean. And the Spirit of God tells Peter to get up, go down off the roof, and go with those men who are here to see you. Go with them without hesitation because I have sent them to you. Peter goes down, tells the men that he's Peter, ask him why they're there. The men tell him that Cornelius, a centurion, was told by an angel of God to send for Peter to come to Cornelius' house so they can hear what Peter has to say. The next day, Peter and the men and some of the believers from Joppa head out to Caesarea. When they get there, Cornelius is expecting them and has even invited some of his relatives and friends. So Peter walks into a house filled with Gentiles. Peter, a Jew, walks into a house filled with unclean people. Cornelius gets so excited that he falls down at Peter's feet and worships him. Peter tells him to get up, says, "Hey, really, I'm only a mortal." Peter then informs the people that they have gathered that they know that it is unlawful for a Jew to associate with or to visit a Gentile. But God has shown Peter that he should not call anyone profane or unclean. Peter then asks Cornelius why he sent for him. And Cornelius tells Peter about his vision and said, "Now all of us are here in the presence of God to listen all that the Lord has commanded you to say." Peter tells them all about Jesus, beginning with the baptism by John to the crucifixion to the resurrection. While Peter is talking, the Holy Spirit falls upon all who hear the word. Those who are true believers are astounded that the Holy Spirit also falls on the Gentiles. Peter at that moment says, "Can anyone withhold the water for baptizing these people who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have?" Cornelius and his friends and relatives get baptized. Cornelius, who already knew there was a creator who prayed to this God, finally came around to what we would call the Christian way of believing. Hallelujah. The strange part of the story is that Peter comes around to the Gentile way of believing, doesn't he? Peter breaks holy covenantal laws to go and proclaim the word to Cornelius. And then Peter says that these Gentiles should be baptized, which means they are all going to share table fellowship together, the clean and the unclean. It's a little complicated, but it's similar to if one of the gypsies, who, by the way, gypsies do believe in God, but if one of the gypsies started having visions that God told her she was okay, and Rachel started having visions that said that being dirty and eating trash is acceptable and clean in God's eyes, then it's almost as if Rachel and the gypsy had traded places for a moment. This is really scary. This story of the conversion of Cornelius, or is it the conversion of Peter, or is it the conversion of both Cornelius and Peter? Peter's hanging out with the unclean, the gypsies. Peter is saying that it is okay for the gypsies to come to our church, eat at our tables, and be baptized in our baptistry, and we are to accept them just as they are. We are to share not only a meal around our tables in the gathering space, we are to share a meal around the Lord's table, for everyone is now equal in God's eyes. Wow. How in the world did Peter wind up in such a predicament? What is he supposed to do now? He has to go back to the other apostles and tell them that he has invited the unclean people, those outside the covenant of God. He's invited those people who are now also children of God. Can we just hear Peter? "Hey, everybody. Good to see you. Maybe people don't have to do everything the way we do it to be considered and clean before God. Maybe it's okay if they eat things that repulse us. Maybe it's okay that they're not circumcised. Oh, and by the way, I had a vision that God says all of this is okay, so see you later." I would not want to be at that church board meeting. Can't we hear what poor Rachel would have to go through if she accepts gypsies as they are? "I had a vision." Well, no, really, the gypsy had the vision first. "Yeah, and then I had a vision, and then God told me to follow these people, and they led me to the gypsy, and I found myself in the midst of many things that made me unclean, except they really didn't, because God has shown me that I should not call anyone profane or unclean. It's okay to eat trash, really. Anyway, the next thing I know, everyone has the Holy Spirit, and I baptize them." Or better yet, everything we hold dear in the Bible that describes a true follower of Jesus, a list sort of like Peter had in the Old Testament. What if a member of this church had a vision where God showed that none of those rules apply anymore? What if the table was opened wider and wider and wider and wider? And by the way, have you noticed that it is God who is doing all of this converting and changing of minds? God is the one saying, "Do not call profane what I have deemed clean and good." We better watch out for visions. No telling what could happen if we take God's role in conversion seriously. As I said, Slovakia is Rachel's home now. That is where she lives with her husband and child. Something happened as Rachel followed her vision to take the gospel to the gypsies. She found that maybe it was her understanding of who it is that God loves, or maybe it was that she understood that she was right. And maybe that changed. Rachel found that she began to be more at home with the gypsies, those that she thought she could save. And in that, she found a God that is bigger than any of us could ever imagine. Who would have ever thought that God changes the believer almost as much, if not more, than the one who is considered unclean? See, we better all watch out for those visions. If you see a large sheet with animals, rules, commandments, scriptures on it, watch out. Amen.